Well, I want to thank the Lord for all he's done for me and all that he's going to do. And I got to reading on this. This is one of my favorite psalms, by the way, and I'm only going to read parts of it. But I thought to myself when I was reading it, I thought, now that is a really dumb question. And one day I went to a guy at work and I told him, I said, can I ask you a dumb question? He said, there are no dumb questions, only dumb people. I thought, well, don't be a jerk to me. I need help, you know? And then I heard somebody rightly say, and this is the correct way, he said, there are no dumb questions except the ones that aren't asked. Now think about that for a moment. If you have a question and you don't ask it, well, it must have been a dumb one. So here we go. We got a really dumb question in this psalm. Asaph's one of my, this psalm's one of my favorite. But what you got to know about Asaph is that he was a, in our day and time, we would call him a worship leader. But when you read this psalm, you're going to think, my, what kind of worship songs must he be leading? My mama, God love her heart, she's passed away now. But she grew up in the Depression era, okay? She was a little girl back in the Depression era. And everything they ate, they had to raise. So some of you may understand what that feels like. So if you were going to eat that winter, you raised the garden. But she sang some of the most depressing songs. I even put the words to it on that one, and I'm not going to sing it by no means. But one of the verse, and you'll know it, it's by the Stanley Brothers. I was strolling one day in a lonely graveyard when a voice from the tomb seemed to say, I once lived as you lived, walked and talked as you talked, but from earth I was soon called away. And then you know the chorus, oh, those tombs, oh, those tombs. Oh, and I thought, oh, mama, I said, that is so depressing. And that other song she liked, it was real good, it was that she liked, it was called I Heard the Wreck on the Highway, but I didn't hear nobody pray. And I thought, oh, how depressing. Mama, I said, don't we know any glad songs? Well, come to find out, it's depressing in the Bible as well. Asaph starts out, listen to this, just kind of follow along these words. I'll read through some of it kind of quick. I mean, he starts out, I kind of think it's a trick, because he leads you into this psalm. He says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And you're like, yes, praise the Lord, hallelujah. But then he goes, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Oh, well, Asaph, what's going on in your life, buddy? Probably the same thing goes on in our lives. You know, we might be separated by, 2,000-3,000 years? But our lives are pretty much the same, folks. We have to live on a day-to-day basis just like they did. And it says here in verse 3, he said, for I was envious. Now, I wanted to pause there for just a second and say, whoa, Asaph, that's where you went off track. I was envious. What does the Ten Commandments say? Thou shalt not covet. That's the same as wanting what somebody else has. And he was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, in other words, he looked out about him, and we do that too sometimes, we look out, and all of a sudden, he just kind of noticed one day, and this is a psalm. So they must have sang this or quoted it in a service one day. So I don't know how that went over, but they did. And he said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So he's looking outside of himself, just like we might do in our congregation. Now, I was talking about one of our other congregants that you had mentioned. I'm not going to say her name for the CD, but It says here, for there are no bands in their death, meaning they die easy. There's no struggle, you know? So whenever it comes for them to die, it's just like, snap, they're gone, you know? He said, but their strength is firm. It's like they don't get old and have weak knees like I got, or bones, you know, your back starts hurting and all this stuff. He's sitting here looking at these evil people and saying they die easy and their strength is firm, you know, they're pretty strong. And he even goes on to say, and they are not in trouble as other men. Look at that. Neither are they plagued like other men. And like I was talking about, that one person, I think sometimes has suffered more than the general person would typically do. And it's sad, so sad. He said, therefore pride, in verse 6, therefore pride compasseth, or surrounds them, about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. Not only are they just wicked, they're mean wicked. And look at this. Their eyes stand out with fatness. Now, you got to understand the lexicon here. The way things are worded in the Bible, when it talks about their eyes stand out in fatness, that means it could mean like a blessing from God. Okay? If your cows and other animals that you've got are nice and round and fat and healthy, well, you're blessed by God. And that's what he's talking about here. Their eyes stand out with fatness. And look at this. They have more than heart could wish. Oh, Asaph, why are you looking out at them? Poor guy, he's in the doldrums right now. Do you ever get into that? Boy, sometimes I do. Sometimes I get down on myself and I don't want to say depressed. Get the blahs. And sometimes you wonder, is all this kind of really worth it? Because even Asaph goes on to say, they are corrupt and they speak wickedly concerning oppression and they speak loftily. That means they're very proud, high-minded. And it says, and they set their mouth against the heavens. Ah, here we go. It's kind of like what Glenn was talking about. They set their mouth against the heavens, and the tongue walketh through the earth. In other words, they're spreading their plans and ideas through the earth. You know, they're spreading their talk. But notice how it says they set their mouth against the heavens. They're criticizing God. And he's noticing all this, and they're getting away with it, is what Asaph is noticing. At least that's what he's thinking about. He said, therefore, his people return hither or here, and waters of a cup are wrung out to them. In other words, it's like they're being treated bad. And then here's the dumb question. It doesn't come from Asaph. It comes from the people who are setting their mouths against heaven. Here's the dumb question. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Well, they acknowledge, first of all, God, and they acknowledge the Most High, but they don't acknowledge the fact that God knows everything. He knows what they're thinking. He knows how they're living. He knows where you're living, how you're doing. I mean, each and every one of us fall in this category. And sometimes now, you can get so down on yourself, and you ask yourself, like, Lord, I've been praying for my family for so long, and are you listening? Do you hear me? You know, are my prayers getting through? And you can start questioning yourself, and that's what Asaph is doing. So Asaph is basically saying, here are these guys, when they die, it says it's so easy, you know, it's not painful for them, whereas everybody else seems to suffer. If you read further down in the psalm, you'll find out he talks about himself, how he suffers. But what he does, he's talking about how they are asking this really dumb question, how does God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? And that's where we make our mistake, is when we think, see, you can fool me, and it wouldn't take a whole lot. You can fool me. You can live your life in front of me, and I may not know a thing that your heart is not right with God. I may not know it at all. But I'm not your judge. See, that's the good thing. I'm not your judge. You will, like Eddie said this morning, you will face the judge, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's what Eddie was talking about this morning, and I like that. And yes, the Bible does say, of course, we read it in the New Testament, that we're going to give an account for the deeds done where? In this body, okay? In your body. You're going to stand and give an account for everything that you've done, everything that you've said, probably even your motives behind it. Now, that's going to be the scary thing, because people can do good things, but their motives may be wrong. Even James, when he said, you have not because you, first of all, you ask not. Okay, so that's one thing in prayer. We were talking about that earlier. There's conditions on prayer. You don't have because you didn't ask for it, first of all. And another thing he said, and this is a part that gets a lot of people, you ask for things, but you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong motives. And he said you want to spend it on your own lusts or your own cravings. Let's say it that way. Yeah, I might could go out here and pray for a brand new car. Why? Just so I can show off. Well, that's the wrong motive. It's not because I need a means of travel. It's because I want to show off my new, I don't know what the latest hot rod is, but anyway, I've been so far out of it, hadn't had a car payment in years, so thank the Lord, I don't know what kind of new car is out there. But Asaph, poor Asaph, was down in the dumps. I mean, he was down there, he could have picked up a spare tire. I mean, he was just down and out, and he was even asking himself, and maybe I have it in the next scripture here. Oh, no, that's not the right scripture I wanted to put. Because the thing is that he come to the conclusion that he thought he was serving the Lord in vain, or that it was useless to serve the Lord. He came to that conclusion. And the poor guy, I feel sorry for him, because I don't know why he got in this condition. But he wrote it down, it became part of the scriptures, and it's there for us to see that yes, you can be a worship leader and still be down in the dumps and be in the doldrums and have issues going on in your life, and you start to look out. That was his first mistake, is when he started looking outside. Okay, so after he was thinking about all this, he said, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And just like what you were talking about earlier, Glenn, he said, until I went into the sanctuary, this is verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. That's why I'm glad we sang that song. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change in my life. Because when I come here, I feel sorry, so sorry for the people who are missing out on, I don't care if they're interested or not to listen to me. That's not my point. But to worship God. They have an opportunity to worship God. Why? Does anybody know why? He is worthy to be sought. We seek God because He is worthy to be sought. He is worthy. And I feel heartbroken. And I think it breaks Jesus' heart to see that people are not here to worship God. And whether they're here in this building really doesn't bother me as much as, are they seeking Him on the outside? Are they seeking after God on the outside? Is He making a change in their life? Yes, He's made a change in mine, and I'm so glad, I'm so thankful. And so don't think that Christians don't get the blues. They do. Sometimes Christians get down just as bad as other people. But it's often because we take our eyes off Jesus Christ, who should be the center of attention. Jesus Christ should always be the center of attention. And when we take our eyes off Him and we start looking out at everybody else in the world, and yes, I read the news, I hear the goings on, if you read enough of it, you think they're taking over, don't you, Evelyn? You think they're taking over. But you know what? I believe God is raising up people. I believe God is doing something. Now, we may not see it, and we may not see all of it. Sometimes He doesn't show you all of it, but He will do something. God is going to protect His people. He's going to watch over His people. He is for us. And so don't think you're something less when you fall into this trap. I know sometimes it's easy to get down on yourself and to feel bad about yourself. And you might even go so far as to think, you know what? It's kind of what we were talking about earlier. You know, we've served the Lord, and then we turn our back. Then you come back and you serve the Lord and turn your back again. You know, it happens. And it's a sad thing when it happens. It's because we take Jesus off the center post. We don't put Him in the center. He's not our focus. And so Asaph said of himself was this: after he understood what the end of the wicked was going to be, he said, "So foolish was I and ignorant." Now, ignorant don't mean stupid. Ignorant means you don't know. There's a difference. What was it I saw on a sign? Ignorant can be fixed. Stupid is forever. Okay. But this just simply means he was ignorant. He didn't know. He said, "I was a beast before thee." In other words, when he was thinking about all the prosperity of the wicked and how good they got it, how their death don't even hurt, how the righteous are plagued all day long, and he thought, "Surely I've served the Lord in vain." You know, that was Asaph's thinking. This is not the kind of worship leader. This is a guy singing all those tunes. You know what I'm saying? He's singing depressing stuff. He's saying depressing stuff. And it even says in one of the lines in there, he says, "If I would have said this out loud to the children of Israel," he said, "he would have offended them." In other words, he would have hindered them from serving the Lord. Well, he wrote it down and it got put in the Bible. So eventually this psalm got said or sang. You know, I don't know how they did their psalms, but a lot of times it was put to music. But he came to the conclusion, once he went into the sanctuary and he knew God was in charge, the really dumb question was, does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Well, the answer is yes. Absolutely yes. And here we are now, 3,000 years separated maybe, and we can say that you're going to give an account. Everyone will stand in judgment before Jesus Christ our Lord. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. And so that's the thrust of what I wanted to say. Don't think that if you get depressed sometimes or down and that you're the only one. I do sometimes. But you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's what you do. You encourage. There's another psalm. David often did this. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And so you got to do that. Read your scripture and pray to Him and trust Him and believe Him. You know, it's like the song we sang tonight. Jesus is on the inside, working on the outside. Why? Oh, what a change in my life. so he can make those changes. If you would, please stand. We'll say our closing prayer. If anybody wants prayer afterwards, please come. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful. We're so grateful for Asaph, for the example he shows us that even people who love the Lord can get down sometimes, and sometimes, Lord, act foolish. But when you come into the sanctuary, to the church, before the presence of the Lord, you finally get to understand that you know the end. And yes, we have an end. We have a hope. We have a future. And I pray that everyone in this house, Lord, that their future will be with Jesus Christ so that we can enjoy him forever. Lord, whoever hears this message, I pray, God, that you will touch their heart. Move them, Lord, to seek after God because he is worthy to be sought. And so, Lord, we love you and we ask for your blessing by the power and authority and in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the congregation says, amen.